Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
And welcome back to Damon and Ratto. Where is Damon, you say? Well, Damon's getting the day off. Larry Kruger sitting in for Damon and today with Ray and Damon and Ratto streaming live on YouTube. Head to youtube.com/95.7TheGame to watch us live and see what's going on inside the studio. Like and subscribe for all 95.7 The Game content on YouTube. All right, people lining up on the phone lines here, 888-957-9570. So people lined up. I have the question I want to get Ray's thoughts on and the audience. Why are the Giants always bridesmaids and never a bride when it comes to free agents? Well, you say they got Mitch Haniger. Mitch Haniger played 57 games last year. They gave him a 3-year, $40 million-plus dollar deal. I mean, to me, that was, I think, an overpay for a player who's hurt often. It may wind up being a good move, but I can't look at that as like a huge hit, and I don't think the Giants fans do either. They're kind of waiting for the next shoe to fall, and when they didn't get Judge, it's like, well, maybe they'll get Bogaerts. They didn't get Bogaerts. Maybe they'll get Kenley Jansen and prove their No, they didn't get Kenley Jansen. Maybe they'll get Nimmo. No, they didn't get Nimmo. Maybe they'll get Bellinger. No, they didn't get Bellinger. Do you see where I'm going? And basically, I'm just kind of wondering, what is it? And the text line says, they're too conservative. Farhan has been horrible at free agency. Sabian whiffed on superstar position players as well. Another guy, 209, says politics, San Francisco politics, not being a desirable place to raise a family in the ballpark. MLB is possibly the only one of the four major leagues where most of the player roster or most of the players are conservative. 707 says, oh my God, are you guys really talking baseball in December? Well, we're just coming, it's been a baseball week with the winter meetings going on. Some people say it's the money. Some people say it's the roster. I've heard people say that Kapler's no fun to play for. I don't know that to be true. What do you think, Ray? I mean, is it, we love the Bay Area. You and I have lived here our whole lives. Many people in our listening audience think it's a great place to live, progressive thinking and a great place to live, great place to raise a family. But people from the outside world either don't view it as such, or is it have nothing to do with the Bay Area and has everything to do with the Giants don't have a competitive team right now. What do you, with no real pillars, building block pillars to build on going forward? What's the number one reason they're getting shunned?
There isn't a number one reason. Every guy's got a different reason. For a lot of everyday players, it's the park. You can't jack balls out. Other than 2021, when for whatever reason almost every player on the roster had a career year, this has not been a great place to hit a ball far. They've tried to be in on guys who have found other reasons to go other places. Bryce Harper didn't want to play here. When he was free agent and the Giants made a run at him, he made it clear he wasn't interested in San Francisco. And, any number of reasons for that, but they tend to get in on guys who they think are going to change what they are when a lot of players go, no, you are who you are. And I don't think it's so much the politics. I think The tax base is a bit of a concern. I mean,
but it doesn't seem like it bothers teams or guys from signing with the Pods or Dodgers.
No, but L.A. is a more is a warmer and more desirable place, and the Padres are getting guys now because they are paying like they'll never run out of money. I mean, the Padres are they came in overpaying on basically everybody they wanted to get. I mean, when they traded for Juan Soto, they said, we'll clean out our minor league system because we want you. The Padres overpay cheerfully. And I don't consider that a bad thing. But
they might have overpaid for Judge. I mean, we kind of paid it as the Giants lost out to the Yankees. The Giants might not even have been the second choice. They probably were the third choice.
No, they might not have been the second choice. And I suspect that the only way Judge came here is if the Yankees had dropped out of the bidding entirely, which seems unlikely. But
you don't think it's the politics, even though I would, no. If you made me guess, I'd say probably most of the players are conservative, and yeah, this is not a conservative area.
No, but you can work around that. I mean, just because none of them are going to go to a city council meeting,
right?
You know, they don't care, and they make so much money that it's not, you know, and we have to send the kids to public school, but we don't like public school. You know, I don't think that's an issue. I think what it is, more than anything else, is that players get an idea of where they want to go fairly early on in the process. And the Giants aren't first on that list. And it's for differing reasons. Some guys don't like the ballpark. Some guys don't like that it's cold at night. Some guys, you know.
Isn't that ironic? It is true, though, what you're saying about cold, because there are people that play in Chicago and they'll wear ski caps until May 1st. They don't think anything of it. But a cold day in July in San Francisco, it's like, how dare you be cold in July?
No, it's the cold, damp night.
Yeah.
That sits on your fly ball and you're standing out in the outfield and it's just windy enough to be annoying. You know, look, they might have wanted to be in on Trey Turner. But Trey Turner said, I don't want to play on the West Coast. I mean, I just think it's different reasons for different guys.
Kapler, you think Kapler's a factor?
No. They work.
I mean, you think he's a net neutral?
I think he's a net neutral.
Really?
I don't think he's a guy who attracts people. But people don't come for the manager anyway. You know, if you're going to make that level of money.
Right.
You know, the manager, you're going to be in the lineup every day. So the manager's not going to be a problem for you. I don't think the front office is that much. I just think that's, you know, they are not yet prepared to spend like the Padres for players. That's a big deal. The ballpark is not conducive to power hitting, you know, power hitting everyday players. I think that's part of it.
Should they alter their ballpark to make themselves more attractive, or is that... is that a non-starter in your mind? Because
I don't.
You got to ask this.
They won three times with that ballpark being what it is.
True. True.
I think the truth is where they need to maybe focus all their energy or the bulk of their energy is not with the Aaron Judges of the world or the Carlos Correas. It's with the Chris Bassetts. It's with the Carlos Rodons. You know, and make runs at starting pitchers and. The problem with making runs at starting pitchers is they're also, by large, they want long-term deals too. Yeah. And long-term deals for pitchers scare most analytics-based baseball people.
It scares me. I love Carlos Rodon. All Giants fans who saw him this year loved him. Would you go 7 years for Carlos Rodon? Hell no. I wouldn't. I wouldn't go 7 years for Carlos Rodon.
But if the way to win is to have the best rotation you can get and the best bullpen you can get, You have to eat that extra year.
I know. You got to consider. I don't even think the 11-year deal for Correa is good, but I think it's safer to go 11 years for Correa than it is to go 7 years for Rodon. You know, I don't even think the Giants are... I think the Giants are nominally in on Rodon. Lucas has said in my ear that the Giants did have an official offer for Brandon Nimmo. So, once again, they got left as a prizeman. Let's hit the lines and see what Giants fans have to
before
say.
Before we go to the lines, yeah. Man. Let's stall that offer as long as possible. But Brandon Nimmo made it clear he wasn't that keen on leaving New York anyway.
Right.
So the Giants being in on him, it's largely a defensive move, which is to say, hey, if you're interested in leaving, we're interested in having you. But he clearly wasn't interested in leaving, and the Mets weren't interested in letting him leave because I think that was an overpay.
I don't think it was Kapler. I don't think it's the politics. I don't think it's the dimensions of the park or the Hall of Fame. I think it's players scout this out better than we do, and they don't think the Giants are going to win. And I think that's my guess. But let's see what people have to say. Let's go to Corte Madera. Rich is hanging out in Marin. He's with us on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I guess I want to answer your question with a question. Me, if I'm Aaron Judge's agent, I'm thinking about things beyond baseball, meaning, you know, advertising and promotions and, you know, the cover of video games and all that. For me, from a business standpoint, representing Aaron Judge, it seems that the image is easier to sell if Aaron Judge is in a Yankee uniform as opposed to a Giants uniform. So I'm wondering if just from a business perspective, you guys think that, you know, maybe it's easier to sell a player that way. And then I'm also wondering, do you think the division has anything to do with it? For players that want to win, coming to a division that has both the Dodgers and the Padres, coming to a quote-unquote, for lack of a better word, a starter team with a middle-of-nowhere roster, doesn't really appeal to me. I'd rather go somewhere at least where I feel like I have a better chance to make the playoffs. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's probably true for now. It wasn't necessarily true 2 or 3 years ago before the Padres started firing cash around.
Right.
I mean, they dug their way out of irrelevance by paying a massive amount for Manny Machado. Then they did it again for Fernando Tatis. Then they traded their entire farm system to get Juan Soto. And they're going to, you know, try to get him done long term, even though I think Soto's going to want to, you know, do a 1 year and then go deep.
And there sounds like they're on the verge, the Padres, that is, of signing this Kodai Senga.
Yeah, if they get him, and they also got Bogaerts, so.
For $280 million dollars over 11 years.
And the point is, they recognized that our greatest failing is we're stuck in the lower left-hand corner of the country with the Dodgers on top of us and the desert to the right of us and the Mexican border below us. We have only one thing we can do to become not just relevant, but a factor in the market, and that is to throw so much money around that they have to pay attention. I mean, that's what Philadelphia is doing. They are throwing tons of money around because they're surrounded to the north of them by big spenders and with the Mets and Yankees, and to that, to the north of those guys, the guys who are the guys in Boston. So what's Philadelphia going to do to compete? They're going to splash cash around.
Yeah, and they got like six guys in Philadelphia now making $100 million deals. I think you're right, Ray. I don't think there is one answer to this. For Judge, I think the answer is, as much as I wanted him to come here, and I, you know, to me, I agree with Dog saying that the Giants, by having a public pursuit of him, tease their fans. Maybe it was inevitable, but I'll say this about Judge: nobody leaves New York when they're the toast of New York. That's why he didn't leave, because he's not just a Yankee; he's the toast of New York City. And why would Robinson Cano left, but he was never the toast of New York City like Aaron Judge, like Derek Jeter. If you're the toast of New York City, you're not leaving that. I think that's the number. You say to me, what's the number one reason you think Aaron Judge stayed in New York? Because he is the toast of that town, and that's a great spot to be in, and you don't leave that.
Well, I mean that's certainly part of it. I mean, the Yankees were going to have to offend him to get him to leave. They didn't offend him. Simple as that. I mean, yet he got booed some, but people constructed a sandcastle out of that. Like, oh, Yankee fans don't appreciate Aaron Judge.
They could have offended him by going public with the contract offer they made to him, but obviously...
But they clearly came off of that, and they kept saying, please let us have the last offer. And what Judge's people said was, well, we're not going to guarantee you that we'll listen to you one last time. But eventually they did.
Yeah, people who, when you want to go to a place, you're going to give that person the last offer. And so when the fact that he gave the Yankees a last offer, you know, kind of it showed his cards that he wanted to be there. And I think Hal Steinbrenner read it. He kind of confronted him and said, do you want to be here? Yes, I want to be here. all right, let's find a number. They did, and now he's a Yankee, and Giants fans are a little frustrated. Arthur's in Palo Alto wants to get in on this. Arthur, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was thinking that the main reason that the free agents aren't signing with the Giants is because they want to win. They want to go into a situation where the team's already set up to win both now and in the future. And if you look at the Giants, they're just not set up to win now nor in the future. They have one foundational piece on their team currently, and that's Logan Webb. And they have one can't-miss prospect in their farm system, and that's Kyle Harrison. And beyond that, I mean, it's mostly people who are replacement level or a little bit above replacement level, and they're just not a plug-and-play kind of team. If you look at where the free agents have been signing, who is it, the New York Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Padres, they all are sort of plug-and-play. You go into that system and you have a chance to win right off the bat and in the future. So, you know, if those other teams are offering the same kind of money or equal money to what the Giants are offering, like, why would they choose the Giants over an opportunity to win?
You know, it's a good point. So it's like, second, oh, go ahead. You want to add to that?
Oh, yeah. So one more thing. I just wanted to raise one question, and then I'll take my answer offline. But wondering when, if you're the Giants, if you strike out on this free agency market and don't really get to sign anyone big, when do you think about just tearing it all down, doing a rebuild, and try to get prospects, trade all the assets that are tradable? Maybe if at the trade deadline the Giants are still mediocre, trade Haniger, sign as many reclamation projects as you can, and then polish them up and then trade them too.
You know, and
that's what last year's roster was.
But they didn't follow through, because in July, when he had an opportunity to engage teams on moving Carlos Rodon, he fell in love with Carlos Rodon. Couldn't, you know, basically said, I'll take draft pick compensation. And draft pick compensation means you're getting somebody next June who's at a high school or college, and that guy's not going to impact your situation for several years, where if you traded him, you might have gotten a triple-A guy or a double-A guy, and that guy might be ready to help you sooner. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like Farhan last year missed an opportunity with Rodon to maybe get a couple prospects.
No, I think that they wanted to keep him. I don't think I think they wanted to keep him because they looked at him and said, you're going to be the centerpiece of our rotation.
You think they wanted to re-sign him?
What?
You think they wanted to keep him trade-wise because they planned on re-signing him this offseason?
Yeah.
Where's that going? It seems like they're only nominally in it.
Well, we don't
know. Maybe I'm wrong by that.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's my perception.
How nominally they're in it. I mean, maybe they misread his eagerness to leave, but the fact that he hasn't signed yet only tells me that he still wants to play the market some. He might still come back, but the Giants are going to have to do the 7 years. That's not.
I don't think I would do that.
And maybe you don't. But then you know what you end up with? You end up with a team that doesn't hit very much, and you don't have a very good pitching staff. And at some point, you have to accept the fact that the market has run away from you.
It kind of makes me wonder, Ray, if they go 7 years on Rodon, couldn't you make the argument that they should have just paid Kevin Gausman? Because Gausman wanted 5 years, and they said, you know, we don't want to. You want 5 years at $22 million? We don't want to go 5 years. We want to go 2 years, $44 million, with an opt-out out of the first year for Carlos Rodon, because we don't want that much risk out there. So they went for Rodon. He had a good year, and he surfed it to free agency. Now he's leaving. I don't think they want to go long-term on a starter.
You can sometimes misread where the market's going, and by that I mean, there are more and more players who are insisting on much longer term than they used to. When guys are 30 and 31, and they're saying, I want 10 years. I want the Albert Pujols deal. I don't care if you don't like it. That's what I want. And they're getting it now. You know, this is a relatively new phenomenon. Everybody thought after the Pujols deal cratered on the Angels that teams would never go for that again. Well, within a couple of years, they did.
It just shows how much money there is in the game.
Well, it's not just money, but it's this desire for term that is suddenly becoming more important to players than it used to be.
But you can ask for it, but now they're getting it.
Well, but that's my point. I mean, the market is driving where the Carlos Rodon deal is going to be. I agree with you that signing a pitcher for 7 years is dangerous. But if you need the pitcher that badly, and somebody else is saying, we'll give you seven, you fish or cut bait.
You've seen the money that is being thrown out to the shortstops. Trey Turner got an 11-year deal. Bogarts, I think, got an 11-year deal. We focused a lot this week on Giants didn't get Aaron Judge. Oh my God, their fans are losing it. Guys like myself are like, what the heck? But look at the alternative. Do you want Carlos Correa for 11 years? I mean, I know he's 28, but is Carlos Correa at age 37, 38, 39 going to be worth the kind of money that they're going to have to commit to him? I mean, I guess if you want to play in the free agent waters, it's almost like you have to just acknowledge that you're going to have two or three kind of throwaway years at the end of the deal.
If you're lucky. I mean, the Angels got six throwaway years with Pujols. No, it's if you're management, it's the crappy part of the deal. But you don't worry about 2033 until you get to 2031. You don't sweat that out. You're talking about winning the next pennant, because otherwise you're rebuilding. And the only thing you do when you rebuild is you set yourself up for another rebuild when this one doesn't work in 5 years. That's the problem.
Duck Sauce in Berkeley wants to jump in. Duck Sauce, you're on 95.7 The Game. Love the handle.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I have a question. I grew up in New Jersey as a kid. I grew up in so I was a big Yankee fan. I was a big fan of the Pinstripes. Until I realized that they basically bought the best team. So as a kid, they were my team. I didn't believe for a second, and please tell me that you really didn't believe for a second, that Aaron Judge was going to leave New York. That never made any sense to me. Nobody could throw enough money. It's New York.
It was reported, though, Duck Sauce, that he was bitter that they went public, and who knows how, who knows if that was legit. I don't know Aaron Judge. I don't know, how he took that. I've never had a conversation with him, so I had no way to really gauge that. As a Giants fan, as somebody who grew up watching the Giants and watched them last year and fell asleep watching them last year because they were so freaking boring, I was just hoping that they would attract somebody like Judge, just simply because they would be more watchable. I mean, selfishly, I was just like, I didn't even really think the Giants necessarily would win with Aaron Judge. I just thought they would be a lot better show. And since I'm going to commit all these couch hours to watching it, I was hoping for a better show.
No, I mean, look, the truth is, I mean, in terms of what fans think and what they read, they're always reading it from the, how can I get what I want here? And the only thing that was going to cause Aaron Judge to leave New York is if the Yankees said, we're not interested. We're not interested at your price point. We're not giving you, 9 years and $360 million. We're out. It's the only way that he leaves. And at that point, I'm the Mets. I'm going, I'll give you a nine and 360. You don't even have to move from your apartment. You're home free here. So the Giants were going to have to, A, pay more than they thought he was worth and hope that the Yankees were willing to walk away. It was a long shot. I mean, I didn't think they had much of a shot either. But you don't not take the shot, because the only thing worse than having to tell your fans we went after him and didn't get him is, we didn't bother.
Right. And it's $60 to park. And it's $38 for a crab sandwich that you can put on layaway.
That's beside the point. Because
you're paying top freight, but we're not bidding for top guys. That's what I'm saying. I think you have to bid on top guys if you're going to charge top dollar.
Yeah, you have to be in the game to make people believe that they're worth going to see your game.
Good stuff. A lot of good, opinions right there on
and
the
some
Giants
poor ones,
and
Judge,
and some bad ones. Some really, really, really ugly bad opinions. All right, we're sponsored by Outdoor Supply Hardware. What is going on with the Warriors' usage of James Wiseman? Steve Kerr is going to join us top of the hour. I got some thoughts on Wiseman. I'll share with Ray coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Larry Kruger sitting in for Damon on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a great end of your week, getting ready for the weekend. Football Fridays are sponsored by the Jim Irsay Collection at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium tomorrow. For free tickets, visit JimIrsayCollection.com. The Jim Irsay Collection. Does it include a pillowcase full of narcotics?
That was cheap and tawdry.
Yes, it was. But that's me.
Does it include a coach with no experience?
Right, exactly. Jeff Saturday can't do it. Oh, man, people are losing their mind about
then
that.
Then again, nobody can with that roster.
Well, but, you know, it's amazing. It's like people brought up the Saturday thing and, you know, Bill Cowher and all these guys went to town. Oh, he has no experience. Dusty had no experience outside of the Arizona Fall League. Last I checked, he's a pretty good manager. It's been decent.
But he was a coach. He was coach for a number of years.
He was a coach, but he never managed except for the Arizona Fall League.
Okay, but...
And they gave him a manager job.
Well, but at some point, you have to get your first job. And if you're in Major League dugouts as a coach, which he was...
Right.
Then you are more qualified.
I thought he did a great job in 1993. I thought Dusty had made one of his best jobs. And I remember talking to him about it. He said, hey, look, that first year, I really didn't know what I was doing, but I just tried. I went for the win every day. And they had a great pen with Burba and Jackson and, you know, Beck and these guys. And they had a great defense. I think there was got to be four or five gold glovers on that 93 team. They had an incredible offense. They won 103 games and the rest is history. Let's talk a little bit. I want to transition, talk a little bit about the Warriors. Warriors, you know, it's an interesting start, right? We're coming up on roughly the one-third poll of the season, where the season's on the verge of being about a third of the way through. They're 26 games in. They're 13-13. They're awesome at home. They're bad on the road. They're 11-2 at home. They're 2-11 on the road. They played the Celtics Saturday night. Celtics are the best record in basketball. Saturday, 5:30, 21-5, the Celtics are, and they get the best offense in the game. Tatum's having an MVP year, and I don't know what happened to the Warrior defense. They get no stops. I mean, I don't know what to say about them other than they don't stop anybody. I mean, they got a pretty good offense. They don't have much of a defense. Golden State can score. They're fourth in the NBA in offense, 117 points a game. But they're fifth worst in the NBA on the other side of the floor, allowing 116.4 a game. They cannot get stops defensively. James Wiseman's been a total zero. And so Kevon Looney is averaging 23 minutes a game, the most of his career. There's also reports out there that the Warriors are one of the teams that has a lot of interest in Jakob Poeltl. And I don't know if these are legitimate rumors or not, but I did read this week that a guy named LJ Ellis of Spurs Talk says that the Spurs, like Moses Moody, and wouldn't trade Poeltl for Moody, but that if the Warriors moved in some protected first-round picks with Moses Moody, maybe there would be a deal there. But they, this report says the Raptors and the Warriors are among the teams that have shown the most interest in Jakob Poeltl. And that the Spurs aren't especially interested in Wiseman or Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know why. I mean, I understand, I guess, on Wiseman. Kuminga, I don't. But that they like Moses Moody, and they'd want more than Moody for Poeltl. But I read that today. And obviously, you know, we've seen Golden State. They started slow. They've kind of regrouped. They've kind of found themselves. They had an ugly loss the other night where they just let one get away from them. But what do you make of James Wiseman? Second pick in the draft, 2020. It's now year three. And I, Ray, I don't know where you are on Wiseman, so I'll just fire this right out of the chute. I think you have to play him and develop him or trade him. I don't think Golden State is going to... Last year, they didn't do either. They didn't play him, they didn't develop him, and they won a title. I don't think that's happening this year. I don't think they're going to win a title this year without doing one or the other. He got 5 minutes in a meaningless game against Utah. Why are you giving James Wiseman only 5 minutes in a game that... What does that matter in December against Utah? To me, it's sink or swim time for James Wiseman. If he's healthy and he's healthy, play him. I mean, I don't understand why Kerr, on a night where he's sitting three starters in early December against Utah, can't develop James Wiseman. You have to develop James Wiseman this year, or I think you got to move him this year.
Well, but here's the point. You don't get gifted minutes in hopes that you'll figure it out. You get the minutes you get, and you need to be good in the minutes you get so that you get more minutes. That's what that's what's happened with Kuminga.
But 5 minutes, was he so bad in those five that he wasn't, that you had to take him off the floor and he wasn't playable on a night where you had a bunch of guys sitting?
Well, I mean, they're also trying to win the game. So, I mean, the Warriors' MO, rightly or wrongly, and I think rightly more than not, is you have to earn your minutes. And if in those 5 minutes they didn't see enough of what they're asking from him, then he doesn't get any more minutes. I mean, it's not like they don't want him to play.
They gave him a ton of minutes a couple years ago without earning it.
Well, no, because they were a bad team. And then he got hurt. I mean, they didn't have a choice 2 years ago. They were not good. And he was the second pick. And when you have a bad team, the second pick in the draft is going to get run. Well, last year, he was hurt all year. This year, they have aspirations. And it's still, they haven't even hit the one-third mark of their season. But games matter because you don't want to spend the year, you know, fighting for a play-in spot. So all those games matter. But more importantly, if you're talking about developing James Wiseman, doing it will give you minutes and hope for the best is completely ass backwards. It's the minutes we give you, show us something so we can give you more.
How about this as a plan? Put him in the G League until he gets rolling to the point where he's got tremendous momentum, and then promote him and play him.
Because it's the same problem. The reason why he was in Utah is because they were down three guys. They needed the bodies.
But they still didn't give him more than 5 minutes?
But he didn't show that he had more than 5 minutes where they could trust him. I mean, it's just, it's the regular season. You don't write off the rest of the year in the start of December.
Right.
And what you're trying to do if you're developing a guy is show us in the minutes we give you that we can give you some more in the second half. And that maybe your time in the G League will be shorter. He's got to hit the ground running. That's on him. Jonathan Kuminga, who 3 weeks ago was buried, has all of a sudden become a guy who gets 25, 28 minutes a game because when they put him in those 8 minutes spurts, he showed something to them. So they gave him more. He showed them more. And now he's part of the rotation.
Yeah.
That's how it works. It doesn't work the other way around. You don't just go, well, we're going to play in, hope for the best.
I hear you.
It just, you Kuminga looks can't great do it the
right
other now.
He's defending without fouling, and he's really coming on. I love what I'm seeing out of Kuminga, but I just look at James Wiseman, and I'm looking at the Warriors, and I'm thinking, can they win a title this year if James Wiseman doesn't give them anything, and they don't trade him for anything? And I don't,
they won a title last year with that very dynamic.
Right. But it was a different roster, and I don't think they can this year. Well, I agree with you, Ray, in that he's on the floor, the Warriors are a worse team. Offensively, they're worse, and defensively, they're worse.
Well, there's the answer to your question.
But if he makes you worse, you can win the title. I think Golden State can win the title out of any seed in the West. So isn't his development somehow, whether it's in the G League or at the NBA level, as important as some of these games?
No.
These regular season games now?
No. The games are the most important thing.
But
if you're a made guy, you can be load managed. If you're not a made guy, and he's not a made guy yet, you need to make the most of all every minute you get. That's the deal. That's how Poole dug his way out of the doghouse. That's how Kuminga's digging his way out of his doghouse. And if Moody ever gets that done, that'll be how he digs his way out. And if Wiseman never digs his way out, he'll be in Orlando. And then there will be another guy that they draft.
Yeah.
And another guy after that. There's an endless supply of players. I mean, the problem, and Draymond Green is the guy who said this, so I'm not trying to take any credit for it, but he says, it's harder to be a rookie on a good team.
No doubt.
Because the system's already in place, so you have to meld yourself to the system, and your playing time is restricted by the guys ahead of you. You don't just go, well, we're going to give you 25 minutes a night because we just hope you'll be good. They did that 2 years ago, and it didn't work. And I think Steve Kerr made a mental note. He just says, we're not going to give guys minutes for free.
It's interesting, though. That's exactly what the 49ers were doing with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And if Trey Lance hadn't gotten hurt, how long do you think it would have been before they yanked him?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know what he would have played like. I mean, just maybe they don't lose to Denver. The 49ers made a calculated gamble that so far has been a failure. Doesn't mean that they're cutting bait on Lance. But the reason why they brought Garoppolo back against their own wishes and plans was because they couldn't trust Lance to handle the gig without them worrying about it. I mean, trying to trade a guy, not being able to trade him, and then signing him to come back is an unusual move. So what they've seen from Lance so far has not given them comfort. That's why they brought Garoppolo back. And then when Lance went down, they said, well, at least we've got the backup that we're used to and can feel okay in, and Garoppolo's been better than that. So, it's just because you draft a guy doesn't mean you are committed to him for life. Sometimes you just have to admit, we got that one wrong. And again, I'm not saying that they got Lance wrong, but it is clear by the fact that they brought Garoppolo back that they weren't completely comfortable handing Lance the keys and leaving Nate Sudfeld as the backup.
These are such interesting situations, because the 49ers obviously drafted Lance because they liked Lance, and the Warriors did the same with Wiseman. But I can't see the Niners ever giving Lance the kind of ramp-up period that he's going to need to develop. And I don't know that James Wiseman is going to be able to play at the efficiency level that the Warriors need for him to get minutes on this team. And it seems like both teams, the Warriors and the Niners, have these very valuable assets that they're devaluing by the minute.
Or maybe they're devaluing themselves. At least in the case of Wiseman.
They're being devalued.
No, but you have to be able to, when the opportunity comes, you have to hit the ground running.
Yeah,
that's not a choice. And the fact is, sometimes you guess wrong on a guy.
Do you think that's the deal with James Wiseman? Do you think they guess wrong?
It might be.
Because when you look at the numbers, when he's on the floor, Warriors, as I said, worse offensively, worse defensively.
So why would you give him more minutes?
Well, I know. I mean, I see that argument. Golden State's also a worse rebounding team with Wiseman on the floor, and they get destroyed on the offensive glass when he's on the floor. He's had a zero or negative rating in like 38 of his 50 career games.
So what's the obvious judgment you have to make from that? Until he can reverse that.
It's G League time.
Yeah, until he can reverse that, yeah, it's G League time.
But the other interesting aspect of the Wiseman trial is that Steph, who's having an amazing year, and obviously, I mean, that's another issue, is that the Warriors cannot waste, Steph Curry, Steph Curry's age 34 season trying to kind of find things out and figure out who they are. But Wiseman, they're worse. You know, Steph's worse when Wiseman's on the floor than when he's not on the floor.
What you've done is you've made a ton of compelling arguments why you don't give him minutes.
Right, but I mean, I guess the question is, how does it ever evolve? Because they sent him to the G League. He went for 15-10 on average in 7 G League games.
And then they brought him up because they were down 3 guys.
And they didn't give him any minutes.
No, they gave him 5 minutes. And look,
life, and they've decided in that 5 minutes?
No, they haven't decided.
But just for that night?
For that night, they just said, we can't trust him. And then they sent him back down. He was there as an emergency.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I don't think the plan was he gets 7 games, and once he looks good, we're bringing him back, and we're going to throw minutes at him. He was a stopgap for one night, and then they sent him back down with Baldwin and Rollins, which I think was the plan all along. It just, you don't have to justify the draft choice every night. The draft choice has to justify the draft choice.
No, I know. You're putting the emphasis on him and what he's not doing, and I'm looking at their situation as the owners of the asset going, how are they maximizing their asset, or what's their plan?
You can't look at it as maximizing the asset. You have to look at it as, how is the asset maximizing our need for him?
How much patience will they show? He's had a zero or a negative rating in like 36 of his 50 career games. So he's consistently falling beneath the expectation. But how long will they go with him, Ray, before they say, you know what? We got to ship this guy off and get a couple pieces that can help us. Otherwise, we're not good enough to win this year.
But here's the thing.
Do you think they're good enough to win this year if he doesn't develop and doesn't get into the rotation and isn't swapped out?
I think, truthfully, they don't have to make a decision on him, because I don't think he is central to their success or failure. The fact is, they have won without a dominant center presence since Kerr got here. He played on teams that didn't have a dominant center presence. They work around it. Now, the reason why you want to value Wiseman is because eventually these guys are going to age out, but they're not aging out yet. And maybe it just happens that Wiseman doesn't get it by the time his contract is done, and they just move on. Let's be honest, if he's playing the way you say the numbers suggest he's playing,
right, which isn't good,
his market value is nil anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about nil. There's somebody that's going to say, hey, this guy's 7-1, he's 20.
Yeah, but are they going to give like these two, future prospects for that? No. They're going to get him on the cheap.
His value's low. If they sold him right now, they'd be selling low.
Well, exactly. So that's the point. I mean, they're trying to get it so that, he can either be trusted with minutes so that he becomes part of their future, or that he can be trusted with minutes so that somebody else will fall in love with him. But if he can't be trusted with minutes, he doesn't have a value to them or other teams.
Last year's team had GP2. Last year's team had Nemanja Bjelica. Last year's team had Otto Porter.
Yeah. That's one of the biggest shortcomings they have this year, is they don't have those transitional guys who can give you 25 to 28 and hold their own. And don't forget, people would complain about the second unit then too.
Right.
But, Jermichael Green has not turned out well so far. Ty Jerome has not turned out well so far. So what's their bench? When Kuminga's not starting, it's him. When Poole's not starting, it's him. The end.
They need a lot on the bench. I mean, they need guys who can move the basketball on the bench. I don't see it. I don't see shooters.
No.
I don't see. I think this team is desperately needing another perimeter defender on that second unit.
But right now they don't have that, and they don't have a way to get to it.
Unless they want to trade. Unless they want to trade their three young guys or some combination of their three young guys for a piece or two. I guess the question is this. Do you think they could go status quo, Ray, and just keep Wiseman in the G League, maybe introduce Kuminga and Moody more and more and more as the season goes on, get those guys into the rotation? Do they have enough without Wiseman and without moving Wiseman with just what they have right now to contend for a title this year, in your opinion?
That's not a question they have to confront right now.
That's a question you have to confront.
No, I'll confront it. I don't know. But they have to deal with today's problem today. You know, they'll spend all the time between games sitting up in the office talking about, oh, what do we do about this guy in 6 months? 6 months isn't here yet. You know, they have yet to play their 27th game, which means they have not played a third of their season yet. They don't have to worry about, well, can they contend for a title? They have to get into the playoffs first. You know, and it's going to be a tough slog with this team performing this way, but they are operating on the theory that they will be better. And so far, the glimmer of hope that they can point to is that their starting unit, when healthy, is still really good, and that they're showing that they're getting signs that Kuminga is going to be an integral part of the rotation, which means now they go seven deep. You know, depending on how good DiVincenzo is, now that's eight. You know, I don't think they...
Can they find one more player?
I don't think they believe they're a finished product yet. And I don't think they planned on not being a finished product. But every once in a while, you get a hand where you can't win with it. But you can, you know, maybe bleed another guy's stack old dry by, you know, playing the hand correctly.
What do you think of that rumor that I threw out that said that they, you know, maybe the Spurs have interest in Moses Moody, if the Warriors would throw in some picks...
Where are all these picks coming from?
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, they're probably down picks. They probably only have a few picks over the next seven or eight drafts anyway that they could even move. But let's just say that you could move a protected pick or two in the future and Moses Moody and get a guy like Jakob Poeltl. Would you be interested in that move? Is Poeltl the kind of piece that if added to this mix could vault them into Celtics range?
It could make them incrementally better, but the truth is their fate is tied to Curry, Draymond Green, Wiggins, Thompson, Poole, Kuminga. Does Jakob Poeltl make a significant difference? He's a piece, but I don't know that A, he's a significant piece for them, and B, that there aren't other teams that would have a more crying need for Poeltl and more stuff to deal that is appealing. Moody and a couple of picks, you wouldn't like the Warriors' picks. They're down in the draft. You know, they're going to be, I mean, unless you believe that they're going to be a lottery team, they're not, you know, they're not appealing picks right off the top.
No.
For a team that, quite frankly,
for a team,
let's face it, the Spurs want high draft picks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they have one of the worst rosters in the entire association.
So I don't think the Warriors can service their needs.
Well, guy knows a lot about a lot of these topics is joining us next, Steve Kerr. But we're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Steve Kerr stopping by with Ray and I next on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.